I have so been looking forward to being with you, and you've been so looking forward to me coming.
Yes.
Firstly, I really want to thank Will and Jill for having me and inviting me, and I really want to thank you too, as St. Nick's Church, because you're part of this church. You probably don't appreciate how much we appreciate you in Newbury, and how much the other churches and how much the other Christians like me appreciate you and appreciate St. Nick's and all that St. Nick's stands for hundreds of years. Actually, the testimony of St. Nick's has been magnificent across West Berkshire, and I'm very, very grateful to you, not just coming out on a warm July evening, but your continued wonderful testimony across West Berkshire and your great example both of godliness, pursuing God and serving him, but also your pursuit of the kingdom of God across the town, which is a great inspiration to me and the other believers in the town. And so I really want to thank you for that. I really want to thank you for the terrific ministries that have emerged from this church that bless the whole town. And I think of Tanya being here and the fantastic work of Coins and Sarah being here as well. I think I saw earlier on. And please don't underestimate, because it's easy to underestimate when you're kind of in it and take things for kind of granted. But your influence for godliness and the kingdom of God is just magnificent across the town, really. And I'm so grateful to God for you. I'm so grateful to God for Will and Jill, so grateful to God for the rector, Hunter Smart as well. I just think what a fantastic team you've got. I think of Joy blessing the church, but Joy blessing the town as well, and Ed blessing the church, but Ed blessing the town as well. God has really brought a fantastic team here, and I just want to say thank you very much for your generosity in sharing them to us. And we really need you as St. Nick's. We really do need you. You are in the centre of God's plan, the centre of God's purposes for West Berkshire. And I can come in and say these things because I don't come here. And you might be thinking, well, what's he going on about? Who is he? Who invited him? But I can say these things because I can see these things. And I can say them with gratitude and authenticity and integrity to say thank you for your fantastic ministry across the face of this church and across Newbury as well. I feel greatly honoured and encouraged just kind of knowing you and knowing many people in this church who bless me and encourage me. So have me and Beverly around for dinner anytime. Bless us some more. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel a bit kind of impotent in my kind of witness, or I just kind of lack a bit of oomph, or lack a bit of kind of power. Do you ever have those conversations where somebody says something and you think, afterwards you think, oh, I should have said that. Oh, why didn't I say that? Oh, why didn't I put a pray for them there and then? Or does that happen to you as well as me? Yeah. You know, sometimes I just think, I just kind of muck it up, you know, more than I get it right, or just kind of miss an opportunity. And the reason I chose this passage, because, I mean, you'll have guessed, that we just so need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We so need the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. And I just find it really, really interesting that the passage... Who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke
wrote the book of Acts. Who is he writing to? Okay, it's not a trick question, so you can answer the question. Who is Luke writing to?
Theophilus,
that's fine. And right at the beginning, so right at the beginning of what we just read, so who is Luke quoting when he's writing to Theophilus? See, who's he quoting? He's quoting Jesus, that's right. So Jesus is with the disciples and he says to them, wait in the city for the gift that you're going to get. And wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. It's really really interesting, their kind of response to this. Let's just kind of have a look at it together. So if you've got the passage open, or you've got a Bible, or you've got the Bible on your phone, let's just kind of look at it and kind of learn together one or two things. And I just want to make one or two observations and make one or two confessions. And when I've spoken for a while, then we're going to pray, and the Holy Spirit will do some things amongst us. So he says in verse 4, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It's the same kind of word, baptizo, which means to immerse, literally, as you know this, it means to immerse or to dunk. For some of you, your response tonight is to actually, yeah, I need to get baptized. Yeah, I am a believer in Jesus. Jesus says to get baptized. So for some of you, your response tonight is to see Will or Jill or somebody else and say, actually, I am a believer in Jesus and I haven't been baptized and I think I need to be baptized in water. For some of you, are looking at this thinking, that's baptism in water. Yeah, I've done that. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean, this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the same. To be immersed, to be dunked, to be dripping wet when you come out of the baptism pool, when you've been baptized in water, you come out. And you can tell, can't you? You can tell when someone's been baptized in water. Can you tell?
Yeah.
You can generally tell, can't you? Because they're wet and they've been immersed. And here Jesus is talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, we're being dunked in, to be immersed by, to be totally dripping, to be overflowing, sodden by the Holy Spirit, that we can expect to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's a very interesting kind of response from them, isn't it? They ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And I just think that's one of those kind of duh moments. You think, duh? Because of course they kind of missed it, you know, because they've got their own kind of agenda, haven't they? The disciples are thinking about something else. They're thinking about, "Oh, no, we're going to restore the kingdom to Israel." Now, he doesn't say that. He's talking about them being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The thing is, Jesus can be speaking to you, or God can be powerfully at work, or the Holy Spirit can be all around us, and we can still miss it. Because we've got our own agenda. Let's make sure we are listening to the Holy Spirit, that we're in the flow of what Jesus is saying to us now. That we're not just carrying our agenda, what we think God should be doing, how God should be responding to us. I'm trying more and more to be sensitive to and hear the Holy Spirit. Members of my family are much better at this. So we're at the airport on Saturday, and my daughter-in-law, Megan, so she was praying in the morning, felt God say to her that she was going to meet somebody that day who did not have a sense of smell. And that she was to pray for him, and his sense of smell would return, would come to him. So she's like, okay. So she's in the airport flight. She thinks, how will I know? How will I find this man? How will I find a man who hasn't got a sense of smell? So she goes to the duty free, and then she sprays herself with lots of testers. And then she sits on the flight, and she apologises to the man next to her. "And I'm really sorry if I smell a bit fruity. I've just been experimenting with perfumes." To which, of course, he says, "Well, I don't care. I haven't got a sense of smell." So, of course, she's like, so she didn't have to go looking for him. He's right there. God has brought him to her. So you can imagine what happened, the conversation. She said, "I don't mind, but I think God said to me earlier today that I meet somebody who didn't have a sense of smell and that I was to pray for him. I think that's you. Can I pray for you?" So she's like, he's like, okay. So she does. So she prays for him. At which point he goes, "Whoa! What's that? What's that smell?" You see, I'm just using that as illustration for us to be open to and sensitive to and to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Because she's full of the Holy Spirit. She's in touch with what the Father's doing. She can hear his voice and she's responding to him. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm just really bad at it. One day, I'll tell you about one of my epic failures. Shall I? This is an epic failure. So my neighbour opposite, I'm not quite sure how she did this, but she locked herself out of her car, but the key's in the car. I'm not quite sure how you do that, but apparently you can do that. So she comes out, husband comes out, they're trying to get in the car. My neighbour is a police officer, he goes out to help. The other neighbour comes because she's just nosy. I'm watching through the window because I'm curious. Somebody else comes, they decide to phone the AA man. AA man comes, so there's a little group of people and I'm looking at the car and I mean, the AA man, he can't get in, so he's scratching his head. And I thought, this is it. It's obviously God. So I walk across the road to this kind of group of people, most of whom I know, except the AA man called Paul. And I said, I can't help but noticing that you can't get in the car. And they said, well, yeah, they explained that, Carol's locked herself out, they can't put the keys in the car, they're all kind of wondering what to do. So I said, I know somebody who can open the car door. Really? I said, yeah. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to pray for the car door, and it's going to open. And then you'll know that he's real. Yeah, right. So with the crowd of people gathered around, kind of sniggering, I put my hand on the car door, put my hand on the thing, and I said, that they may know that you are the Lord. Door open in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. So I was just like, just want the ground to open up. So I just kind of made my apologies, just kind of slinked back home in the lounge. I was just so cross with God, because it's all about pride, actually, isn't it? It's all about pride. And told God, I stepped out for you, where were you? What would they think of me? What will they think of you? So I just kind of hid the rest of the day when I was so embarrassed. What I didn't know was the AA man went to the pub that night. And he said to his mates, you never guess what happened to me today. We got this call out, and we were all standing around there, and this bloke walks up and says, can I pray for the car door? And he prays for the car, of course nothing happens. And one of the women opposite said, I believe in a God like that. I believe in a God who answers prayer, and he can do miracles. We spent that evening sharing the gospel with him. On Sunday morning, I get up to preach, and Paul, the AA man, is there. With this woman, she brought him to church. She's worked out, she's put it all together, I'm like, oh my goodness. Now I'd like to say to you that at the end of my amazing fiery preach, he yelled out from his voice, how must I be saved? It wasn't like that. But he is a bit nearer the kingdom of God. You see, I'm just not very good at it, but I want to be better at this. Because I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And why? Because you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my, what does the word say? Okay. You will be my
witnesses.
Yeah, you'll be my witnesses. I just find this really interesting that Jesus doesn't say, the Holy Spirit will come upon you so that you can speak in tongues in meetings. Now, the Holy Spirit does come upon us, and sometimes one of the signs of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is that we receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm making a big assumption here that you've read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14 about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives gifts. Those aren't things we earn. It doesn't make you a better Christian because you can speak in tongues, and someone else doesn't know. It's a gift that God just gives. He's just generous like that. God is a generous God, and he lavishes his love upon his children and likes to give us gifts. We like to give gifts to our children at Christmas and on their birthdays. And God gives us gifts all the time. And the greatest of those we just read is the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And you can read 1 Corinthians. Let me just read 1 Corinthians. So some of you are thinking, what is he talking about? Let me just read it to you, because it's good to be reminded what the Holy Spirit gives us and what the Holy Spirit does for us. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we read 12 verse 8 to 1. There is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. And then if you look at the end of the chapter, that kind of concluding paragraph of the chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, there's some other gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Apostles and prophets, gifts of administration. And then the very last verse, verse 31 says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then there's more explanation about how we can receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's this great plethora of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth to go after them. Go after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Seek, eagerly seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't just say, oh, not for me. Oh, no, I have to will, you know, the deal. You know, the keenness. Yeah, no, not for me. Oh, you have to earn them, don't you? You have to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that tongues thing, no, I'm not sure about that. She came on a Honda and all of that, no. I'm not sure about that. No. The Holy Spirit really is for you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit really, really are for you. Why? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for you and me to draw us near to the Father. They're not for us to show off. That's not what gifts of the Holy Spirit are for. They're to draw us closer to Him. But also when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, Jesus says, so that we might be witnesses. It just gives us an oomph. This gives us some power when we are what? When we're testifying. When we are bearing witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit helps us. Just helps us. So, one of the things that Bedley and I do, and some folk in the church, and I know the Warlock family do as well, is the park run. And I think the park run is a really interesting place, because it's a bit like church. Because when you go there, the man or the woman at the front gathers everybody together. Gather around everybody, and welcomes everybody, and then says, is anybody here for the first time? You know, welcome if you're here for the first time. Anybody with a birthday? Anybody with a birthday? You know, cheer clap and the rest of it. The serving rota. We're a bit short on the serving rota. We need some people to do the car parking. We could do some other people doing the timing. And I'll just explain what's going to happen this morning. Just kind of explain the route, you know. And also we've got somebody here this morning who wants to tell you about an opportunity for us to give. And somebody might pop up and talk about the kind of thing we're going to be giving to that week, and I'm thinking, surely he's going to pray next. You know, I'm just expecting he's going to pray. So it's very church-like. It's like a community. But what I'm finding now is that, because David and I pray before we go, and just God opening up some just kind of wonderful kind of opportunities just to kind of talk about Him in a very natural way. And in fact, one lady said to Beverly, she said, Do you think we could talk about God together? And I said, that's just so wonderful, isn't it? Just God opening the opportunity, the Holy Spirit, so on Beverly. Beverly is much better for this kind of thing than me. She just, as she reminds me, she's just more like Jesus. She's certainly more full of the Holy Spirit than me, and is able to, very naturally and easily, just kind of courageously but lovingly, just help people come to know Jesus. The kind of friends that we have, Beverly has a very, very winsome, creative, loving, but passionate way that she is able to do this much better than me. I'm often finding myself, how does she do that? How does that conversation go from cakes to salvation? How did she do that? I'm not quite sure, you know, because I'm just a bit duller than she is. Because I've got a feeling that you want more people to come to know Jesus. Is that right? Yeah, I've got a feeling that you've got a yearning and a longing for this, to know God more, otherwise you wouldn't be here. It's good for that other thing, you can go to the beach or something, but you're here because you have a yearning for more of God, don't you? That's why you're here. What? Why would you come on a nice windy July evening? It's because you want more of God. You're hungry for more of God. And the other thing I reckon
You're hungry for home, but I've got a feeling too, you are yearning for your friends and the family and for more people in Newbury and West Berkshire to come to know Jesus, aren't you?
That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's help.
But sometimes you get it amazingly sovereignly, doesn't you? So this week, Beverly and I went to a prayer meeting of New Frontiers Church leaders. New Frontiers is the family of churches to which we were a part of. So there was 500 of us went to this prayer meeting. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic, at Westminster Chapel. But one of the things I loved about was hearing people stories about how they came to Jesus or things that are happening in their churches. So Simon from the New Frontiers Church in Bedford, he said, so recently they baptised a guy, and who they knew, who's an atheist, who said he was an atheist. And he's sitting in the bathroom of his flat, and the window's open, he's looking at a tree. And he's looking at this tree, and it occurs to him that this tree is amazing. And this tree is really beautiful. And he looks at this tree and he says, that is amazing, actually. And all those colours of green. I think maybe there is a God. So he seeks out his Christian friend, and tells him about sitting in the bath, looking at the tree. And over the breakfast table, his friend is just gently and easily able to lead him to Christ. There and there. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know many people who come to Christ because of the colour green. We think, it's just fantastic, isn't it? It's just lovely. And so somebody else I was hearing about, the same meeting, about a Hindu gentleman who's a friend of someone in the church. He had a dream, and in the dream, he had a dream of a lion. And he thought, why am I dreaming about a lion? So he tells his Christian friend, he said, that's a really strange dream. I said, I had a dream about a lion. He says, oh, what did the lion look like? Oh, you know, it's beautiful, and mane, but really looking at me intently. And he said, oh, I know what that is. Jesus in the Bible talks about himself as the lion of Judah. And just explains it through the scriptures where Jesus talks about himself and is referred to as the lion of Judah. And his Hindu friend is like, wow, that's amazing. That's so amazing. So that's Jesus speaking to me in a dream. He's drawing out the dots himself. So Jesus is speaking to me, calling me, speaking to me, looking at me. Yeah. So, just easy and naturally, his friend is able to lead his erstwhile Hindu friend into a relationship with Jesus. And I think you long for that, don't you? I think you long for that. I'm so grateful for the young woman at university who said to me, Mark, you need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I was like, what? I thought she was speaking another language. I really did. I thought, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's about all she said. I can't remember much else, but I'll tell you what. Something happened in my heart that day. That was a seed of faith that faithful, prayerful young woman sowed into my heart that day. Because I could not get away from that phrase. That I needed to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I just kept thinking about it. A relationship with God. So does that mean that God is real? How do I have a relationship with God? How do I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And then through the faithful witness of another friend who said to me, Mark, what do you need to do? Why don't you read the Bible for yourself? Now, he didn't share the whole gospel to me, he just encouraged me to read the Bible. And I thought, yeah, okay. I'll do that. So I found an old Bible that he had given at school, started at Genesis, and thought, whoa. And they helpfully said, well, why don't you do something like Mark? You're called Mark. Why don't you read something like Mark about the life of Jesus? It's a short kind of gospel, and see what you think. And that was so helpful to me. So friends, be encouraged that let's kind of throw out seed and see what God does. Throw out the seed and see what he does. We don't necessarily have to explain the whole gospel to somebody. Being a witness can just be asking a question or making a suggestion and then seeing what God will do. Because the young woman said to me, Mike, you need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's all I can remember that she said, but something happened to me that day. She was full of the Holy Spirit and put that seed of faith in you. Then the second guy saying, why don't you read the Bible for yourself and find out? That was another important seed of faith that was sown in me. And I'm so grateful for those two people who said those things to me. Because then, of course, what happens is Jesus is saying, you'll be my witnesses in
Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So it's a bit like Jesus saying to us, you're going to be my witnesses in Newbury and West Berkshire in the United Kingdom, and what other nations in the world that you might be called to, or the other nations, as it happens now, that God is bringing to us. We don't have to be missionaries overseas anymore, do we? It's amazing. God brings the nations to us, doesn't he? God's brought the nations to us. I met an Iranian gentleman recently, and I was at a conference for Iranian church leaders. And one of the guys, I thought, man, he looks like he's got a story to tell. So I just I opened up and I said, if you don't mind me asking you, how did you come to know Jesus? How did you come to be here? What's your story? And he said, well, I was an assassin in Iran, and because I was part of the Mujahideen, and I was being trained to go to America to create havoc. And as I arrived in America, I was arrested and put in prison. And while I was in prison, on my second night in prison, Jesus appeared to me in my prison cell and said to me, from now on, you will follow me and you will help other people to follow me. So that's what I did. Right. That's cool. You see, Jesus really wants to do this. He really wants to fill his people with the Holy Spirit and really wants to draw men and women to himself. He really does. I guess that many of you know that about 4,000 people in London came to know Jesus yesterday in one meeting. I guess most of you know that, don't you? Because J. John hired the Emirates Stadium where Arsenal play, 40,000 people went. They worship, he preached the gospel, and about 4,000 people responded to the gospel and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So we can, if we like, which I do sometimes, get depressed about what's happening in the nation, because sometimes you read the news and you think, what? What's happening? Well, I can get afraid to like turn on the telly in the morning thinking, what will have happened overnight? Or, but then there's some really, really amazing things happening. So we're Beverly and I with 500 people praying on Wednesday, 40,000 people at the Emirates Stadium. On Friday evening, the New Frontiers churches in East Anglia, they decided they wanted to have a prayer meeting to pray for the nation. They called it Enough. Yes. 8,000 people participated in that prayer meeting to pray for the nation. We pray enough, God, please come. Please come to our nation. Because see, when the people of God get praying, when they begin to call out to him, amazing things happen. Amazing things have happened in this nation's history when the people of God have gathered together to pray. And amazing things are going to happen again in this nation when we are full of the Holy Spirit, being faithful witnesses, and when we gather together to pray. So friends, I'm sure that none of this has come as any kind of surprise to you, but I do want us to, and I'm talking to myself as well, I want us to be those who are pursuing the Holy Spirit, who are open to the Holy Spirit, who are doing what Jesus said, who are being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That might have happened to you once, and you need it again. I love it when Paul says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I might have been filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 19, but I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit now. I might have been filled with the Holy Spirit last week, but I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for this week. I pray up and Jesus, give me today, daily bread, today's bread, the Holy Spirit that I need today. So my encouragement in just a moment is, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Well, yeah. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And for some of you, that will happen. It's already happening. Even as I say that, it's already happening.
Sunday. You can feel the Holy Spirit upon you, and you're all of a quiver, even as I'm saying that. For some of you, when I say stand, you might feel a bit afraid or a bit apprehensive, but that's okay, because He's a loving God, and He's gentle, and He wants to do you good, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. How will you know the Holy Spirit is coming upon you? Well, for some of you, you won't feel anything at all, but the Holy Spirit still bless you. Some of you, as I pray, some of you will feel a bit kind of tingly, some of you might feel a bit wobbly, some of you might feel a bit shaky, some of you just might feel even hotter than you are already. Some of you might even feel a breeze, a strange breeze blowing upon you. The Holy Spirit is like breathing on you. You think, hang on a minute, why is there a breeze blowing on me? Why am I feeling like this? Because the Holy Spirit is breathing on you to let you know He's real and He's here and He's very close and wants to express His intimacy and His love. You. Some of you will start speaking in tongues for the first time. What does that mean? That means that's a prayer language. It's a prayer language. Does it make you a special Christian? No, it doesn't make you any special. It's because God loves you, and He loves talking to you, and loves it when you talk to Him. And sometimes it's just hard to find English words to express all that we're feeling. So He helpfully gives us a prayer language to express all the things that are kind of within us that want to kind of come out. And so the gift of tongues, or speaking in tongues, is that it helps us to pray. And some of you will find a few kind of funny words bumming up. For those of you who are familiar with all of this, I'm just going to encourage you to go for it again and to receive the Holy Spirit fresh, for you to speak in your first language, prayers of thankfulness, or come upon me, whatever you want to say to Him. But the Holy Spirit's going to do a number of different things in His way, right now. So, please don't be afraid, and you don't have to join in. If you prefer just to sit there, that's really, really fine, because the Holy Spirit can still get you. when you're just sitting there. But you've been very good, and some of you would prefer to stand, some of you would prefer to sit. If you want to kneel, that's okay too. But the Holy Spirit's going to do a number of things for a number of people now. It's not me. This is the Holy Spirit's time now.